bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Hello, 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 hello. I hope you are all having a fantastic week. Well, I say fantastic week, but the week is just getting started. Another Monday means another start to the work week. Of course, I don't know about you, but I sure do love working for those weekends. Gosh, weekends are amazing. They're not long enough. I wish weekends were 5 days and work was 2. Or maybe there was a better way to split work up. I don't know. But regardless, welcome in to episode 48 of the Trent Speaks podcast. Yep, you know what that means. We are encroaching and getting closer to 1 year of the podcast. And you might be thinking, or maybe you're not thinking, and that's okay too. Are you going to do anything special for the 1 year anniversary, Trent? And my response to you would be, fantastic question. Which is code for, I have no idea if I'll do something special or not. Well, regardless, I'm very excited, extremely excited to share this week's guest with you. You probably hear in the background a little crinkling. That's me getting the last of some Om Nom chocolate from Iceland, which is fantastic as well. I would highly recommend this Om Nom chocolate. You can look online and see if they sell it near you. I like the green kind the best, the dark milk of Nicaragua. It's got a little caramely taste to it. And here is Trent getting off topic, of course. But this week is the start of many weeks of guests that I don't know. And I've said this before in the past couple of weeks. You'll hear me say it again right now. I have wanted to move toward interviewing people I know to interviewing and sharing the stories of people I don't know. And this is the first week that I was able to do that. And that'll be for weeks to come. This week, I want to share the story of a New Yorker named Matt. Matt, I guess I don't even know where to begin. I know that you said when we first connected, I kind of saw that you were interested in everything of being on the podcast, that you have had the honor of working with Damon John of Shark Tank for 2.5 years. What is it that you were doing with Damon?
So when I was with Damon, and I'm still with Damon. Okay. You know, that's one thing that I've not really been making clear to the public, but I actually had 2 jobs with Damon, believe it or not. So the first and the main one, which is with his consulting company called The Shark Group, that is the job I no longer have. I stepped away from that job respectfully because, you know, I felt like I had a bigger purpose in life to serve, but that's beside the point. What I was doing with Damon was I was really working on his personal branding initiatives in regards to what you were seeing on social media was being funneled through my team and I. Every book that comes out, so the one that I worked on, I was project manager for, was a New York Times bestseller. It's called Rise and Grind. It was an amazing book. His podcast and a whole bunch of other stuff, which was really, really cool.
And I saw that you said that you've traveled for the past year speaking to different colleges and universities and organizations. What is it that you speak about?
Essentially what we're about to talk about today, and that's my journey. There's obviously other things as well. So I'll give you an example. What was it, November, late November, maybe just like the week before Thanksgiving, I headed down to Jackson, Mississippi. And, you know, I got some very, very well Southern treatment, which was nice. But what I spoke about was, you know, I only actually had 15 minutes, and I was fortunate enough to be able to provide an opportunity to one of my very good friends, one of my mentors. So he came with me, and we were only given a 15-minute window to speak.
Wow.
And so that was tough. You know, there's two people want to give a keynote, and I'm saying, what do we do? So essentially what we did was we combined. We had a dual keynote, which was really cool. We went back and forth, which is not really orthodox, right? It's not really normal to see that. And we did a back and forth decoding of the word hustle. So for instance, H stands for like hunger. U stands for something else. S stands for something else. T and so on, which was really, really cool. But aside from that, you know, like it really depends on what the school or the university or the organization is looking for. Like if someone's looking for overcoming failure, well, okay, great. That's something that I've done. That's something that I can speak about. But if they're looking to talk about how to make a billion-dollar business, well, I'm sorry, I haven't done that yet. I can't talk on that, you know? So it really depends on what people are looking for.
Well, and you just mentioned it, you've overcome failure. How is it that you've overcome failure? I know that you said you've lived in New York for the 26 years of your life. How have you overcome failure in this 26 years?
Man, where do I even start with that? Seriously, man, I can't even tell you, man. It goes all the way back to elementary school, right? Like, I was never good at school. And, you know, I don't want to sound mainstream like a Gary Vee where he's always talking about, well, school's not built for entrepreneurs. Well, listen, you know, like, at the end of the day, I did graduate college with Dean's List honors. But at the same time, let's go all the way back to elementary school. I was never good at school. In fact, I always joke about it, but I'm serious. I was like one of five students in the entire school. Now, I went to private school my entire life. I'm one of five students with this thing that's called a checklist or a check sheet. And this check sheet is a disciplinary sheet. So every time you did something that was against the code of conduct, you received the check. Now, there was about 100 boxes on this check sheet. And I remember one day reporting to my principal, and I had 98 checks.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
holy cow.
You know, like I was the class clown, you know, I was the troublemaker, and I was owning that, you know, like I was literally owning that. Granted, you know, I'm young, but I got pushed along because I was going to private school. My parents were paying tuition and I was playing sports. I was very athletic. But you know what? It translated into high school. And this is why I brought up the whole elementary school thing, because in high school, I was going to get kicked out of my first high school. And that's not even to mention that I didn't even get accepted into any high schools. Luckily, through my network, I was able to get into the one that I wanted to go to.
Wow.
And within 1 year, I was getting kicked out of that. And, you know, it continues, man. I went to another high school, which was probably better off for me in the first place. They're a lot more competitive in sports and things of that nature. So they have a nationally ranked basketball program, which I was a part of, playing baseball at a very high level. And, you know, the same thing happened there. You know, I was the class clown, right? It was a little bit of a lesser level because the school was a lot bigger. But, yeah, man, like failing classes, going to summer school, right? These are all things that we don't necessarily take as failures because they happened so long ago for some of us. But at the same time, like this was a major failure for me and it continued to translate. And, you know, I was a senior and at 17 years old, I don't really consider this a failure, but at the same time, it was a pretty big detriment to my life. At 17 years old, I saw my dream completely come crashing down. I tore my labrum in my shoulder while on the pitcher's mound for my high school. And I literally never picked up a baseball or a basketball again. And I quit on my dream. You know, so to some people might not consider that a failure. I consider it a failure, not necessarily one that I regret because it shaped me into the individual that I've become today. But yeah, man, like I quit. Like I straight up quit on myself. And to me, I failed myself in a way. But even from there, man, like I got kicked out of high school my senior year when a month after I had surgery. So like, you know, dude, I've been through it all, man. You know, I've seen my bank account dwindle around zero after making thousands upon thousands of dollars. You know, like it's just life, man. Failure is a part of life. It's just you got to take the lesson in it and run with it.
What is it that turned things around for you? I mean, there had to have been a turning point at some point, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, yeah, man, definitely. So I guess the first is just natural. The first one that I would say was completely natural. And what I mean by that is, listen, we're all going to mature at some part of our life. literally all of us will mature, and it happens at different paths. Like, we all have different paths is what I'm saying. Everyone's journey is different. So if it happens for me at, I don't know, 55, and it could happen for someone else at 10. You know, like, it, we're all different in that aspect, and that's what makes life really beautiful, is that there's no real blueprint to succeed. It's like, you got to try to do whatever you got to do, right? Your life is different than others. But the first, let's just call the first natural and, you know, nature or whatever you want to call it. And then the second was the thing that really turned on, that really flipped the switch in my life was I was probably about 21 or 22 years old. I was finally back in college studying to get my 4-year degree. And I was watching a TED talk by this weird guy named Gary Vaynerchuk. This is the first time I'm ever hearing about him. And there were three words that he said that truly impacted my life for the greater good. And those three words were legacy over currency. And at this moment in my life, I was monetizing my personal brand. I was working 4 other jobs. I was going to school. I was really, really hustling. And I realized after he said that I was living my life the complete opposite way that I needed to live it, right? I was living currency over legacy as opposed to legacy over currency. And that is what really, really impacted me and shaped me into the individual that I am today.
And I know that I was looking at your website and everything, and that at 18, you said you started your own business out of your personal brand. How did you go about doing that?
So what that really came down to was the fact that I was always surrounding myself with older individuals while hanging out or whatever the case was. You know, we always, in my neighborhood, we had this one pizzeria that we always hung out at. You know, like, all the neighborhood kids hung out at this one pizzeria. And I'm probably 16, 17 years old, hanging out with people that are 20, 21, and they're pulling up in the cars that I like with the girls that I like. And I'm just like, man, what am I doing wrong? You know? So essentially aligning myself with individuals like that really paid off. And what it comes down to is a simple word that we might take for granted for sometimes, and that word's networking. And what networking came down to me, what came down for me, was the fact that I was offered a position to start making some money at 17 years old. And I remember, or maybe I was 16, actually, I was 16 years old. And I remember I was offered this position to promote a party. And this was within the nightlife industry. And what happened was I promoted my quote unquote 18th birthday, which was really my 17th birthday. And I made $277. And you can laugh about it now. Like, I look back and I'm like, I made $277 off of promoting my quote unquote 18th birthday, which was really my 17th. And you want to know what? I literally didn't even show up to the venue.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even show up. So the people that went there for me were texting me all night, like, hey, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm home. You know, like, I couldn't get in. I wouldn't be able to get in. I was 17. You needed to be 18 or older. So that was really the start of it. And from there, it really became like this huge mass movement. And I'm super fortunate for the opportunity to have, you know, been aligned with these individuals, because what it did was it was a trickling effect. I was talented at what I was doing. And next thing you know, I'm throwing my own parties with some of my best friends.
So, and I know we talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the podcast, working with Damon and everything. How did that relationship begin?
Again, it comes down to networking, and I could tell you stories for days, man, but this one was something that's really special to me. And basically what happened was I was the president of my alma mater's entrepreneurship club. Now, I failed out of college my freshman year or my sophomore year. I forget which one, but like I said, man, that whole never being good at school thing, it translated into every level of education I ever went for. So at this point, you know, I'm really buckling down and really, really trying to make that impact. And this is after I saw that whole legacy over currency speech. And I'm the president of this club. I'm building a community, an amazing, amazing community of like-minded individuals. We had over 100 members of this club, which was phenomenal. And Yeah, man. Like, it got to a point where I remember I was on spring break. I was in the Dominican Republic with two of my friends, and I remember looking at my phone and I see my school calling me. It says CUNY York College, which is the City University of New York, York College. And I remember thinking to myself, I know I paid my tuition because I paid this shit myself. Why are they calling me? You know, so whatever. I was like, I know Verizon's going to hit me with crazy overage fees right now. Let me just answer the call. So I answer the call, and the woman on the other end of the line was like, hey, Matt, how are you? Would you like to meet Damon John of Shark Tank? And I said, why are you calling me? If you know me well enough, you know the answer is yes. You know? I actually didn't say that, but I said something along those lines, much more polite. And 2 days after I got back, or the day after I got back, Damon was coming to my college for his book tour. So I said, okay, this is awesome. This is an opportunity to meet an individual I aspire to be like. So I went to go meet with Damon. I was one of four people that had the opportunity, one of four students that had the opportunity. And I remember it was our time. It was the executive board's time to go meet and shake Damon John's hand. So I was the last person to shake his hand. I shake his hand and he looks at me. He goes, what the hell do they teach you here? How to break people's hands? So it was definitely good vibes. It was really good vibes off the bat. And I remember I looked at him after our conversation. I said, you know what, Damon, I'm going to work for you. And he looked at me like I had 10 heads. But the most interesting part of the story is after he delivered his fireside chat, I invited one of my mentors with me, and we were sitting in separate parts of the theater. So we met up and we were literally two of the last people to walk out of the theater. And as we're walking out, we see a gentleman by the name of George, who I didn't necessarily know as well as I know him now. But my mentor, my buddy Phil that was with me, he knew him. So this goes to show how amazing networking is, because I met Phil through the event industry, right? He was one of the older individuals I surrounded myself with. Now, George is even older than Phil, and Phil knew him. And this is the chain reaction of networking. Holy cow. This is the chain reaction. Listen to this. So we walk out of the theater and we start talking to George. I introduce myself and find out how we know each other. We knew each other through mutual people, through events and things of that sort. And it just so happened that George works for Damon John.
Wow.
Just like that. And, you know, I hit up George on Facebook maybe a day later. And I said, George, what can I do for you to help me get my foot in the door with Damon? And next thing you know, 2 months later, I was working for Damon John.
What a small world. Isn't it amazing how really there are, I believe, in the 6 degrees of separation. Everyone knows everyone, and it really is all about who you know. I strongly believe that.
It really, really comes down to who you know and what you can leverage out of relationships. And, you know, it's one hand washes the other, man. Like, that's what it comes down to. It's beautiful.
And I know you've talked about the legacy over currency. How is it that you focus on that? And what is it that people can do to focus on the legacy over currency? Because I think you kind of talked a little bit about it earlier, that you were focusing on the currency over legacy. And I don't think it's something that is unnoticed, I guess. I think that's something a lot of people do, is everyone looks at, oh, where's the money? Where's the money? How much can I make here, over what is the impact that you want to have? I guess, so how do you focus on that? And how would you say others can focus on that as well?
So what I was doing was I felt like I needed to make as much money as possible. And that was the mindset that I had. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was breaking in a lot of money, man. And at such a young age. So, you know, I kind of got caught up in that lifestyle. And one thing that I want to point out to anyone listening is the fact that money doesn't heal pain. Like, money might be fulfilling, but money's only fulfilling for a short period of time. It's never long-term fulfilling. And I promise you that. Now, for me personally, what I did was I realized that I have a story to tell. I have a message. I have value to add to individuals' lives. And I said, how can I do that? You know, so you know, it goes back to being in college and being the president of that entrepreneurship club, which was essentially like a full-time job, man. You know, like that was tough. I wasn't getting paid for that. I got no money for that. In fact, I actually spent money for that to make sure my legacy as the club president would live on. And what that turned into was a club president of the year award and a club of the year award from the school, which was amazing, you know. So I started leaving my legacy in that way. Now, you know, like I speak across the country and hopping on podcasts like this, man, I love this because someone listening, even if it's just one person, can feel impacted or feel some type of way. And you want to know what, whether I know it or not, at the end of the day, it's just, it's fulfilling. Now, how can someone else do it? It's tough, right? Because I'm not going to say, don't try and make money. We all have bills. We all have life. Like we, you know, we have to have some sort of money. We need to keep a roof over our head. Like whatever the case is, like, I totally get it. So it's not to focus on money, but also align the word value with money, right? Like, how can you continue to add value? Even if someone's paying for your service, you can leave a legacy that way. You know, it's just, don't be so greedy is what I would say.
And I know you said, you've mentioned a few times, school just really wasn't your thing. And it sounds like entrepreneurship is. How is it that you found your passion?
So I definitely didn't know what my passion was after I lost sports, right? Like that was the only thing I knew. And I felt like it was the only thing I was good at aside from playing video games and maybe getting girls, you know, like I really didn't feel like I was good at anything else. Like I could throw a baseball 85 miles per hour at freaking 17 years old, you know, like that's rare. And then on the other hand, I wasn't I wasn't going to be in the NBA by any means, but at the end of the day, I probably could have played in Europe if I really put my mind to it. But what it came down to for me, I actually, like I said, for 2 years, I probably lost my passion. And it goes back to what I was just saying about money. Like I felt like money was my passion. I felt like making money was my passion. And then I realized how shitty that was. And, you know, it was tough, but how you go about finding your passion is tasting different things. You know, like literally go and try as many small things as possible. You know, you could be riding a bike. It could be, I don't know, writing books. It could be making colognes or making candles. I really don't know. Like there's so many options out there in this world. And what it comes down to is literally just tasting different things, right? How do you know if you like chicken parm? You got to taste it. How do you know if you like pizza? You got to taste it, you know, like go out there and taste those different type of things. And that's exactly what I did. I started to taste around. And I remember I'm fortunate. I struck gold in the very early, you know, taste testing days, I guess I'll call them. And that was, I fell in love with public speaking. I would literally do that for free the rest of my life. If I knew that I would always have a roof over
right,
my head, I
would right.
do it for free the rest of my life because it brings you that fulfillment. And it was like a girl gave me butterflies, man. I remember after I finished speaking, I had all these individuals. I think there was like 62 or 63 people at my first public speaking engagement. And all of them came up to me after. And every single time someone came up to me, it felt like I was floating. And I was like, wow, this is how I know I love what I'm doing right now. So, you know, it's different for everyone. But the best advice I can give you is to continue to taste things.
Well, my wife is probably smiling listening to this podcast because I'm a very picky eater. And so I don't like to taste a lot of new foods. And so she's probably smiling like, yeah, Trent, you got to taste some stuff. You got to try some new things. Would you say that's one of the most rewarding parts? And that's how you kind of know you found what it is that you should be doing is when those people do come up to you and they say, hey, you really had an impact on me, or I really learned from your story.
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of it for me at least, right? You know, there could be someone else who tries something and doesn't hear anything, but that's okay. Listen, you know, you don't need other people's approval to do something, right? If you want to work for, let's just say you want to be a teacher, or maybe a teacher is a bad example because they're in communication with people, but you know, like whatever the case is, like if you don't need to hear someone to really be passionate about it. But like, what it comes down to is knowing that you're fulfilled in life. And, you know, maybe it's a side hustle that you work on that doesn't necessarily provide you with monetary value. You know, you have a 9-to-5 job, but you're really passionate about this other thing and you do it on the side. Like, that's totally cool. You got to keep in mind, everyone's life is different. You know, it's not necessarily like, oh, let's take the leap of faith and go full on board with this passion that's providing me with no money and it's not scalable. So, you know, like, maybe that's not the best route for you, but, or for anyone, I'm not talking to you, Trent, but for anyone listening, you know, so, yeah, man, that's what it comes down to. It's like, for me personally, yeah, I felt fulfilled and that's how I knew what it was.
If you had to, and maybe there's not one thing, but if you had to pick one thing that you feel like has really defined you or shaped you, what would you say that has been?
Failure. Definitely failure. You know, and at the same time, like when I experience failure, and I still experience it today, right? I still face challenges. I'm 26 years old. I'm going to face a whole bunch more. And I'm open to that, right? I'm open to that because that means I'm trying. But at the same time, I feel like that's what shaped me the most, because as much as my wins were nice in life, at the same time, they've helped me grow. But what helped me grow the most and really what hit home, maybe it's because I'm hard-headed and it takes something, you know, difficult for me to learn. I would say it was my failures, because those challenges and those road bumps, those roadblocks, whatever you want to call them, refer to them as, they just taught me a lot about life and a lot about who I was. You know, I could have gave up a whole bunch of times. You know, like I didn't have to finish college. I could have got, you know, a job in a union or something like that. But you know what? I went back and I made something of it, and I made my mark on the school. I still work with them. So it was definitely the failures that were just like, hey, man, like, look, you overcame all this. You had perseverance. You had courage. You had confidence in your abilities. Like, I was taught all of that through my failures.
Well, I feel like sometimes, and I am curious what your opinion is on this, but I feel like sometimes failure is almost one of those taboo things, kind of like mental health, where it's been that quiet topic of keep it to yourself, brush it under the rug, don't really talk to others about it, or I don't want to talk to others about it. But really, what are your thoughts? I would say failure to me is something we should talk about more, embrace more, because we can learn from each other and help each other out in that regard.
Oh, I totally agree with you, man. And you want to know what? I think it comes down to the fact that, and I'm going to speak about men right now because I can't speak about women. I'm not a woman. So men don't necessarily like to be vulnerable. Straight up. Like, I probably was never open about any of my failures until maybe 2 years ago. I was almost ashamed of them. And then I realized, like, dude, like, this is something that shaped your life. Someone could be facing the same exact thing that you're facing. They need your help. They need your voice. So speak up. And once I started to realize that, I started to take off the masks that I was wearing, right? And I feel like men really, really wear a whole bunch of masks. Whether you're an athlete, you know, you have that jock mask on, or, you know, you might be a joker, you wear that joker mask. Maybe you don't like to show emotion, you know, like whatever the case is, I feel like we're very hidden because we want to maintain this bravado. Like, hey, I'm this macho man. Like, I don't get hurt. I don't feel pain. I don't face challenges. Like, I conquer everything, you know. But I feel like if all of us started to elaborate on the challenges we face and, you know, the challenges we're still facing and the failures we've been through, you know, that's essentially mentorship for the people that are going to go through them or that are going through them. It's just a way to give back.
I know you've had a lot of various experiences and we've talked about some of those on the podcast. Is there something you wish you would have known sooner?
Of course, man. There's a whole bunch of stuff I wish I would have known sooner. I wish I would have known how to save money sooner. I wish I would have known how to be a better human, right? Overall, like, take care of myself, take care of my family, take care of the world that we're blessed to have. I wish I would have known how important traveling is to my growth, which is definitely something that I love to do. I wish I would have loved how much I personally love to help other individuals, because all human beings are psychologically wired to love to help other people. Like, we do get a joy and a fulfillment out of that. You know, like, there's so much, man, I can go on for days with this. I wish I would have known how important education would be for me, how important being a student leader would be for me. Yeah, the list goes on, man.
One question that I always ask as I wrap up podcasts, what is it that, whether it's something that we've talked about so far within the past half hour, or maybe it's not something that we've talked about, but what is it that you would want listeners of this podcast to take away or to learn?
I think it would really be yourself. And it's funny because I was on a podcast the other day and they asked a similar question. And I gave a different answer, but, you know, things change over the course of days, hours, minutes, and seconds. So I'm giving a different one that I feel like it resonates with where I'm at right now. And I think it would be yourself, be authentic, and don't let society dictate who you're becoming. Don't let the fear of failure dictate who you become. Don't let living in a comfort zone or a comfort box, however you want to refer to it, don't let that dictate who you are to become. If you're younger and you're listening to this and you're going to college or something and your mom or your dad wants you to be a lawyer, like if you don't want to be a lawyer, do not be a lawyer. You know, like at the end of the day, like really trust your path and trust your journey and literally have faith in yourself and faith in what you believe and faith in what you want and make it happen, you know, because we get really caught up in what we're seeing out there on social media and all of this stuff. Like, you know, I hate to bring him up and continue to quote him. I actually don't hate to bring him up, but continuously quoting Gary, you know, like he always talks about essentially like being who you are, right? And I think that's big. Like, don't let this society we're in shape you. Entrepreneurship, what he says wasn't cool X amount of years ago. Meanwhile, I thought it was always cool, but that's a different story. And yeah, man, it's like, just be you, be authentic, be genuine, and be true to who you want to be and who you are.
Matt, I greatly thank you for taking time out of your day to be on the podcast. Thank you so much. One thing that I love to do to kind of let every podcast be its own is I like to let my guests sign off. So would you like to sign off for this week's podcast?
Of course, man. First of all, I want to express my gratitude toward you and toward the opportunity to be able to share some value and insight and, you know, share a story. So I definitely do appreciate that. And, do you want me to sign off right now? We're good to go to sign off.
Yeah. Good to go to sign off.
Awesome. Yeah. So you were just tuned in with Trent and Matt. And like I said, I'm super grateful for the opportunity, sending all my blessings and positive vibes to every individual that tunes into this. I wish everyone a very happy, successful, and monumental 2019. So Trent, thank you again for the opportunity, brother.